Hello and welcome to Medi-Call episode 210. I'm Corey and here's Daryl.
You?
Yo! Daryl, welcome back. I hope you had a wonderful holiday season.
Yeah, it was fine. What's up, man?
Happy New Year. It is 2021. We made it.
We are slowly trying to escape the grip of COVID.
Yeah, I was thinking on New Year at 12:01 a.m. we were just going to have no more pandemic. But no, it was as promised. It was not instantly better. But we're getting there. Sure, slowly but surely. Yep. I went back to work today after a week and a half off. Hashtag school teacher life. But fortunately, we had a work day, so I'm very thankful I had that day to get back into the mindset of being at school, because I definitely didn't think about school at all in the last week and a half. I played a lot of board games, played some Magic Online. I played quite a bit of Phoenix, Blue-Red Phoenix in Historic on Arena. That's my deck right there. It's not very good per se, but it is a lot of fun. I should take that back. I think that deck is underrated. It beats up on goblins. So there's that. And goblins is pretty prevalent. But that's not what we're here to talk about anyway. Magic is. So generally speaking, Magic is a great thing. And if you want to play more of it, you should use our promo code, CardKnockLifePodcast, all one word, for 14% off your first 3 months at ManaTraders.com, our wonderful sponsor. Once again, that's CardKnockLifePodcast, all one word. It won't help you so much with Arena. But if you want to play MTGO, you can play some Modern. We'll talk a little bit about Modern today. Play some Pioneer. You can play some Standard. You can play some EDH. Some call it Commander. You can play some other things. Vintage, Legacy. You know what I'm saying? So yep. Anyways, I was thinking today we can catch up a little bit on some of these Kaldheim? How am I supposed to say that?
No clue.
Kaldheim? Spoilers and leaks. There are a couple of leaks that are very official looking. I think they're official enough to talk about. And then there's a deck in Modern that has been spiking some tournaments. The latest challenge on January 3rd, the top three decks, including one piloted by our very own friend of the podcast, friend of the website, Elplasian, top three positions, Hammer Time, Black-White Hammer Time. And I think that this deck is, it's time to acknowledge it is, it's a real player in Modern. Looks pretty powerful. So we're gonna talk about all of that today.
All right.
So let's start with Hammer Time. What do you say?
All right.
So Daryl, you said you're familiar with the white red Hammer Time. Can you just fill us in on the history of the Hammer Time? What's this white red version that you're familiar with?
So the white red version I'm familiar with is functionally using creatures that have or gain double strike from being equipped. And then you play the combination of Sigarda's Aid plus Colossus Hammer. So Colossus Hammer is a 1-mana equipment that gives creature +10/+10 and makes it lose flying. Costs 8 mana to equip, so really cheap to play, really hard to equip. Sigarda's Aid lets you play equips at flash speed, but also automatically equips them to a creature. So you would use one of these creatures that has double strike when it's equipped, or just has double strike in general. You'd attack with it. So with Sigarda's Aid, play Flashing Colossus Hammer, and that'd be the full 20. You can also use Ink Moth Nexus and Flashing Colossus Hammer that way to get 10 infect. But the red was mostly for some more double strike creatures. And then there was like a knight that says equipments cost less to equip to you, so that like your back or equipped to knights you control. So the backup plan was like playing like the Sword of X and Y type things to get a bunch of triggers for really cheap and go from there. So. What is the black one bringing to the table that the white one wouldn't, or the red one wouldn't be, I guess is my question here.
Well, the black and white version forgoes the double strike entirely. You lose out on that with no red, obviously. But there are some white creatures that could do it, and they're not getting played. Obviously, the combination of Sigarda's Aid and the Hammer is, like, the highlight here, and there's still a full four of both of those. Being able to play that at instant speed is a big deal, because the Hammer says equipped creature loses flying. So with something like Ornithopter, if you can attack and that creature is unblocked, you can then equip it at instant speed after the blocking has been declared so that your Ornithopter remains unblocked and then loses flying after the fact. So I think that's kind of the play here with this deck, because Ornithopter is a fantastic target for that in this scenario where you can, you know, sneak that +10/+10 in last minute. So,
yep,
but the black, the black gives you in the main deck, it's primarily just a mono white deck, honestly, but there are two Unearth in the main deck. You've also got access to Silent Clearing, which is kind of the feature because it's an easy splash of black that also lets you, you know, do something with your mana in this deck that really is very light on mana needs. All the cards are like zero mana spells or one mana spells, and then there are a couple of like two mana value creatures. So you can like really cash in on this land pretty frequently when you're like, oh, I've drawn three and I no longer need more than two. That works out pretty well for it. But of course, Ink Moth Nexus wouldn't really be considered a mana producing land as much as it is just another creature in most cases. So that's one that sort of serves a dual purpose. So the 20 lands here is kind of like a virtual 20 lands. It's kind of hard to quantify what you're really working with. So lots of opportunity to maximize some value there. But then in the sideboard, there are two Thoughtseize in the one that I'm looking at. I'm sure plenty of these other ones are using a different number of Thoughtseize. That's probably a big feature. Duress, Fatal Push, I'm seeing in some of these other sideboards as well. But mostly just a mono white deck, really. I think they found that just having flying with an Ornithopter and attacking for 10 is just good enough. You don't really need to be double striking your opponent to death because 10 damage is enough to usually kill them.
That's fair, yeah. With Death Shadow and things like that, and fetch lands and shock lands, Thoughtseize, yeah. 10 is the magic number sometimes, yeah.
Yeah, some of them are playing like Giver of Runes. I'm seeing most of them, like the core is like Memnite, Ornithopter, Piercesteel Paladin, Stoneforge Mystic. Steel Shaper's Gift, Sigarda's Aid, Hammer.
Yeah, I've definitely seen Giver of Runes and the white red ones too, and I've seen some mono white ones, but yeah, Giver of Runes is a nice improvement for this deck because like you could equip your hammer and not have to worry about getting blown out by Fatal Push or whatever.
Yeah. And then Lurrus, of course, is a big part of this too. Like all, you know, there's tons of these zero mana spells, so like you can really recycle your Ornithopters in the late game, but most importantly, like being able to have Mishra's Bauble to enable your Cranial Plating to be worth more value in just Metalcraft. Yeah, Metalcraft for Piercesteel Paladin, and then have a little card draw engine with Lurrus is really good.
Yeah,
some of them have Cranial Plating. I see one of in this deck, but seems like little sneak attack in some cases.
Kind of free. It's nice when we can pull Nexus, just because it's cheap equipment that you can actually pay to put on a thing. But yeah, just having like, so most of, you see the four hammers, right? So then the question is, well, how many more equipment do you play and which ones? Do you play swords? Do you play Batterskull? Do you play like Paradise Mantle and Shields and Zeros if you're going to do the Piercesteel Paladin thing? So people do have some debates about how you want to handle that. I like four hammer. If you're going to play Stoneforge, you can play a Batterskull. It's kind of free. Some number of swords. And then I do like the Cranial Plating if you're playing Memnite and Ornithopter and Mishra's Bauble. Because then you just have a bunch of extra artifacts laying around to pick up a plating and have, you know, 3, 4, 5 damage.
Yeah, this one's got a Swiftfoot Boots in it. There seem to be some with, like, a value equipment. Now, there's always, like, one Shadow Spear, which, you know, I think that lifelink is probably pretty relevant against, like, the burn decks of the world. So, yeah, it seems like a powerful deck. Seems very explosive. Not extremely expensive in the Magic Online department, but the value needed to go somewhere. So now that this deck has picked up some steam, if you're interested in a playset of Steel Shaper's Gifts, you're in for 121 tickets for that playset. But aside from that, the deck is pretty cheap.
Ouch. That's
yeah. Uncommon. That card could use a reprint probably, but not terribly, not steep. So use that promo code that I talked about earlier in the episode, Card Not Cliff Podcast, one word, for your Mana Traders discount there.
Yeah, you could get the $9 one and probably get away with it on that one.
Yeah. So, all right, there you have it. That's all I want to talk about with Modern this week, but just a real quick, brush back through the old world of Modern. Is there anything else you wanted to discuss there.
No, nothing jumping off the page there for me.
The Eldamri's toolbox decks always look really cool to me. I think it's really fun that you can build a Valakut deck that doesn't have red in it. And I know this deck is kind of old news, but I think the concept of it is really cool. I'm not a big fan of getting killed by Valakut. Let me put that out there. But this, by design, is a cool deck. And it plays cool cards.
I mean, would you rather get killed by Tron or Valakut?
I don't like either, but probably Valakut. Exactly. They kind of feel the same way, Daryl. It's just my opponent puts lands into play and then I die.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, Tron feels a lot worse to me than Valakut does, but sure.
I'd rather get killed by green and white cards since they're my friends.
Fair enough. So you want to look at Kaldheim.
Kaldheim.
Nope, not my language. You're not speaking my language.
Okay. So what you got?
I see some leaky looking cards. Are we going to talk about some leaky looking cards?
We can, but we got to talk about this non-leaky card first, because if you're not interested in hearing about these leaked cards, we should probably talk about the official the official previews beforehand, so you can just shut off the podcast before we spoil anything for you. But yeah, I don't know, it'd be hard to avoid leaks.
Worth talking about?
Yeah, the you know which one I'm talking about, did you say?
Toski, the bearer of secrets.
Yeah. Yes, of course. The squirrel, the legendary squirrel creature.
Yeah, I got 3 and a green for a legendary creature squirrel. 1/1. It can't be countered, it's indestructible, it attacks each combat if able. And whenever a creature you control deals combat damage to a player, draw a card.
Is this not like an absurd creature for Commander?
Oh, no, it is. Absolutely.
I mean, it's got indestructible. Like, who cares if it attacks each turn if it will? The only thing it can't do in that case is just, like, block stuff, you know? Because it really doesn't matter if it attacks each turn if able, except for then it just can't, like, fog one guy every once in a while. But you're probably going to be incentivized to do that anyway, since it's indestructible and it's going to draw you a card.
I was going to say, really, the key there is you just want to have an indestructible Ophidian. So it's an uncounterable, indestructible Ophidian, which Ophidian was a blue creature that you could choose to forego combat damage to draw a card instead if you connected to a player. Whereas with this, you just get both. And all your other creatures also draw you cards.
Oh, yeah, so, by the way.
Is any of your mana elves running around, we'll pick you up a card or two. Any tokens you have, we'll pick you up some more cards. But just being able to like play this guy on turn 4, if you got some Swift of Boots or something, slap them on there and just say, all right, attack you, draw a card. Like, having an extra card turning green is very nice.
Yeah, honestly, the way things have been going lately, I'm surprised this doesn't have Haste and Menace. I'm happy it doesn't.
So, yeah, some sort of ridiculous keyword combination.
But yeah, this seems like, I don't want to say auto including green decks, but in auto including green creature decks, at least. Because like, for 4 mana, like, it doesn't get much more valuable than a creature that effectively just draws a card for each creature you control every turn. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, this is really powerful.
People are just going to be excited to have a squirrel commander also. So this card's going to be like a gazillion dollars.
Yeah. Especially that alt art one. That one's pretty cool.
Oh, there's an alternate art one? Let me go look at it.
Yeah, if you're on the Mythic spoiler, you just put your mouse over the card image and it'll switch to the alt art.
Oh, well.
It's the showcase, I should say. Showcase.
I am bad at this.
Yeah.
Oh, that's excellent.
Yeah.
That is an excellent artistical rendering of that.
Yeah, most of the other cards I want to talk about are indeed the leaks, though.
Leaky ones?
So I think that we've covered all of the ones. We did gush enough about the Pyre of Heroes last week, I believe, but let me just point out that I'm still excited for that card.
We did gush a lot about Pyre of Heroes. So I'm going to go ahead and put this spoiler tag. These are not official leaks from Wizards of the Coast. Therefore, these cards could be subject to change. And if you don't want to hear about them, you can just shut the podcast off now. It's great talking to you. Have a wonderful week. But for the rest of you that decide to hang around, we got some leak cards to talk about. And I already know which one I want to start with.
Oh, wait. Let me just clarify. These are not official spoilers from or these are not official previews from Wizards of the Coast. They're official leaks from Wizards of the Coast because they do it every time. I have to believe it's planned, right? Like it's all part of design.
I don't believe that, which is why I gave the preemptive please sign off if you don't want to hear about these.
Like is it possible that they really just screw this up every set? I mean, yes, I guess it is.
They
just have
a lot of people that work for them, so people can just like totally swipe images and like stuff like that. It's totally possible, man.
All right. Fair enough. All right. Well, okay, here we go. So which one do you want to talk about? Is it green?
It is green.
Okay, then it's Vorinclex Monstrous Raider.
That's incorrect.
Oh, okay. Well, let's start with this one. Since I read the name.
Fine. You're the host. I will go ahead and follow your lead.
No, you're the host. I'm the co-host. You're the co-host. We're co-hosts. We're equal. All
right. So we'll start with Vorinclex. So it's 6 mana, 4 green for a 6/6 trample haste. Legendary creature Phyrexian Praetor. If you would put one or more counters on a permanent, put twice as many counters of each type on those permanents or players instead. If an opponent would put one or more counters on a permanent or player, they put half that many of each of those kinds of counters on that permanent or player instead. Rounded down.
Yeah. So, like, this is going to be the most obnoxious, like, infect general for mono green. There's got to be enough stuff that makes this playable, but at the very least, there's that equipment that gives a creature infect. Yeah, grafted exoskeleton. So that'll just one shot kill anyone that this guy hits, right?
That is correct. It'll put 16 counters on it if he goes on block.
And that's, or 12, right? Because it's double?
No, it gives him +2/+2.
Oh, it does. Oh my god. It doesn't matter. It just has to get past 10. But.
Well, it actually does. It actually does, though, because if you block with enough toughness creature.
Yeah.
It deals 5 damage, which doubles because of his ability to 10.
Yeah.
So the +2/+2 is actually relevant because then up to a 3/3 can't block it to keep you from dying. But yeah.
Yeah, that's annoying. I mean, this guy, like, the amount of value you get for 6 mana these days, it's like not impressive to play creatures that cost more than, you know, that cost less than like 9 anymore.
Also, just giving this guy Wither seems good, or any creature you control Wither with this guy, and just like letting Wither loose is pretty good.
Yeah.
But that's not even what I see this as part of. I see this in like as like a creature functionally that gets played in Planeswalker decks to add double loyalty.
Yeah, and then alt right away.
Yep.
Yeah, which mono green planeswalkers can like just win the game in a multiplayer game with their alt?
The Garruk that makes 6/6 worms.
The 5-mana Garruk?
Yeah, the 5-mana Garruk. I would say the 6-mana Garruk also would probably win the game.
Okay.
But
it's gotta be mono green.
Yeah, there's a 6-mana Garruk.
Oh, okay.
Like called. Yeah, the one that like green, black one. Looks at the top 5 and then like does, I forget what it does. I think it's like green creature, or like when you cast a creature, get a creature, something like that.
Yeah.
Nissa Who Shakes the World, or sorry, World Waker, the one that gets all the forests out of your deck and puts them into play as 4/4 lands.
Mm-hmm.
That one seems like it should win the game on the spot, pretty much. Like,
yeah.
So there are definitely some choices.
Do you think that there's going to be infect in this set? Just based on the fact that this guy's got the Phyrexian brand on it. I hope not too, but that, you see what I'm talking about? Behind the text on it, it's got the Phyrexian symbol.
Yeah, no, I see it. Yeah. He's a Phyrexian Praetor. Yeah, I see it.
Yeah. I worry.
Oh well, here comes infect. That'll be fun.
I worry.
Gotta be able to kill Toasty somehow.
Yeah. Now it does. On the other side of things, if an opponent will put one or more counters on a permanent or player, put half that many counters of those kind on that permanent player rounded down. Does that matter so much? I mean, that's going to slow their planeswalkers down quite a bit. Planeswalkers, if you're not doing things like this in Commander, tend to be like kind of underpowered, I think. I mean, they're definitely good, but when you're playing a multiplayer game, they just become targets before they can really do anything effective.
any planeswalker that plus ones doesn't do anything anymore. Like, it doesn't gain loyalty. This also accidentally, so, like, people are going to get got by this a lot the first time they play this guy. It accidentally enables your opponent's persist combos.
Yeah.
Because you would put a minus one counter on it, round it down to zero. So if you have a sac outlet and a persist creature and your opponent controls this guy, you get to do infinite sacrifice things.
Now, I have never seen anyone play the Kitchen Finks combo in Commander, but that's not to say that it doesn't get tried.
I played it with Murderous Red Cap, because Murderous Red Cap kills everyone.
Yeah. All right.
And you can also do it, like, I just happenstance to do it with, like, a blue-white deck with Glenlander Archmage, because I was playing Cathar's Crusade.
Yeah.
So you just make your creatures infinitely big and attack them.
Well, knowing that this guy's around, if I've got someone in my playgroup that plays this guy as a general and I get annoyed enough, I'm certainly going to be jamming the persist combo in my deck.
Oh, yeah, dude, no. Build an Abzan deck and just play, you have to play four color because you just want to get him with
black and red.
You just want to get him with red cap too. Just like give him all the persist shenanigans.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's enough talk about this guy. Six mana should cost seven. I mean, like, there is a place in time when an effect like this would cost like eight and like it would be like a 2/2, but no, you get a 6/6 trample haste body that doubles all your counters. So we're welcome to 2021.
six body is good enough.
Yeah,
the haste is kind of, or the effect is kind of ridiculous. That is not the green card I want to talk about.
Yeah, is it Battle Mammoth?
No, you're bad at this.
I'm just going in order here. Well, what is it that you want to talk about?
Blessing of Frost. So it's 3 and a green for a snow, which is the point I wanted to talk about. Sorcery. Distribute X +1/+1 counters among any number of creatures you control, where X is the amount of snow spent to cast the spell. Then draw a card for each creature you control with power 4 or greater. Snow is mana made from a snow source.
What? I don't even see this card. Where are you?
I am on Mythic Spoiler. It is underneath Battle Mammoth and underneath the Blood Sky Massacre.
Oh, that is green. Yeah, yeah. Okay. I'm sorry. Go on. That's a
green card for me. So the key here is that snow-covered lands are going to be back in Standard. So basic lands are banned for the rest of 2021 and 2022.
Yeah.
because snow-covered lands will exist. And there's literally no downside unless they print something that's like destroy all snow permanents, or all snow-covered lands don't untap, or snow permanents don't untap, or something like that. Unless they print some ridiculous hate card like that, basic lands are banned until 2022.
Yeah, I hope that they've learned their lesson about snow. I think I thought that when the Ice Fang Codal Arkham's Astrolabe thing happened in Modern, like, we were kind of thinking, like, you know, maybe there's a thing about this where we shouldn't be, you know, we should, like, maybe incentivize basic lands over snow lands, or maybe we shouldn't just have a non-zero reason not to run these. And I think Arkham's Astrolabe was probably the straw that broke the camel's back, because it was just so easy to include and had such a great advantage to so many decks. But, you know, now we see that card gone from Modern, and Kotal sees a lot less play, right? And in fact, there are significantly less snowlands just for the lulls in Modern right now, but some people are still just trying to dirty up their mana base with it.
Uh-huh.
Adding more opportunity to gain advantage from snowlands could only hurt that balance. I think that we're only risking, like, screwing up again. It can't actually improve the situation. And I may sound like a curmudgeonly old man saying that, but I have concerns. And I do remember seeing this card a couple weeks back, Blessing of Frost. This showed up on Reddit, what, like 2 weeks ago or something. This card itself is not terribly exciting. Like, it's cool. You know, like, I'll play this in Commander or whatever. But I think you're more concerned or excited about the snow aspect of it, right?
That is correct.
Okay, yeah. So Snow sorcery is something we haven't seen in a long time. Scred,
I haven't seen.
Snow instant, right? Is that even a snow card?
I don't think Scred was a snow instant.
It just had to do with snow cards. Yeah, it wasn't. It was just an instant. Yeah. Huh. So maybe, was there no snow spells at all?
I'm checking Dead of Winter real quick.
We had snow permanents. We had snow lands and snow artifacts. Yeah, Dead of
Winter.
Just
checking Dead of Winter MTG real quick. Dead of Winter was not a snow spell. It was just a sorcery.
Yeah, so this will be the first time.
So now there's a reason for snow, for sorceries and instants to have the snow quality. So there might be something, just look for this, that tutors or recurs snow type cards.
Yeah, so there's potential that this set includes, in fact, Phyrexian mana and snow mana all at once.
Here we go.
I'm just saying, it's possible. The table has been set for it.
Not insane.
What's that?
Are you not entertained?
I'm entertained thinking about the train wreck that could happen, but I am concerned.
Yes.
All right. Well then.
Where to next?
Shall we go on? There's only maybe one or two more that I want to talk about. We got one?
Would you like to talk about Battle Mammoth?
Yeah, let's talk about it. I think it's cool. Just another commander consideration, but Battle Mammoth, 3 green for a 6/5. This one tells us what Foretell is. We were wondering about that last week when we were looking at the commander cards. It is a 6/5 trample for 5, naturally, because that's the rate these days. It is a mythic. It's an elephant. Whenever a permanent you control becomes a target of a spell or ability an opponent controls, you may draw a card. But, first of all, that's very good, right? But if paying 5 mana for your 6/5 that has a good ability is too much to do, you can Foretell this card, which means that you pay 2 green, and during your turn, you may pay 2 and exile this card from your hand face down and cast it on a later turn for its Foretell cost. So it's like you put on layaway for 2 mana, and then for 4 later on, you put it into play. So I don't know if that means that you're going to have like a Foretell token where you can put like face down cards on the Foretell token.
It's not put into play, it's cast, worth noting, so can be countered, but yes.
Oh, yeah, it is, isn't it?
Yes, I'd assume there would be a Foretell token.
It must be like a zone or something, like kind of like the On a Journey type of thing for
yeah,
the
on an adventure zone.
On an adventure, yeah. So you could pay the 6 for this guy, but just do it for, you know, you can get this guy into play on turn 4, which is pretty ridiculous for a 6/5 trample that has this much benefit. So I can see this guy smashing in standard, you know, stompy decks like green red.
So here's the thing I thought of. That,
yeah.
Is kind of valuable, like minusculely valuable at some point, is that you can hide it from discard.
Yeah.
So, like, if you have this card and you want, like, it's an important piece of your game plan for later in the game, if your opponent doesn't hit you with, like, turn one Thoughtseize, I'm just saying what if turn one Thoughtseize is in the format, like, you can just hide this thing out in exile so that their future discard spells can get to it.
Yeah, that's a good point. Or, like, what's the dude that's a 2 mana, it's like 1 in a red for a hasty guy, and when he attacks, it's like if your opponent has more cards in their hand, you get to exile one off the top of their library.
I have no clue what you're talking about.
He gets played in standard decks. It's 1 in a red, yeah, he's a 2/2 haste, and it compares hand size when he attacks. So this would, like, effectively limit your hand size early on. When you couldn't be casting this 5 mana spell. So I don't know
yes.
if that guy would still be in standard. I think he's in Theros, but I might be completely wrong.
I feel like that sounds like a made up card, but I could also believe it existing. But no, this card is, I mean, the ability is just very good. And then Foretell is awkward. It will help you with mana problems in standard, but I think, you know, it's good to be able to hide it from discard or kind of tuck it out there if there's a Wheel of Fortune effect that you want to play in your commander deck to be able to, like, hide this guy out there so that you can Wheel of Fortune and then go do something else as well.
Yeah. All right. That might be it for me. Let's talk about this one more card, though, at least from my perspective here, unless you got more. Resplendent Marshal. It's kind of cool. One white for a 3/3 Angel Warrior. I wish its creature types were more relevant, but Angel Warrior is cool. It is flying. When it enters the battlefield or dies, you may exile another creature card from your graveyard. When you do, put a +1/+1 counter on each creature you control other than Resplendent Marshal that shares a creature type with the exiled card.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's a whole lot of value for 3 mana. I mean, we'd be in trouble if this was, like, a human or something and just, like, naturally slotted into a tribal deck as a card that was also part of that tribe. But because it's an angel and a warrior, like, those decks don't already exist. And this makes, you know, it's a little easier to say that this is not overpowered. But, man, a 3/3 human that, like, also pumped up your humans and, like, had flying. It's like, holy cow.
I don't think you read this card correctly.
Yeah, it's each other creature. So it doesn't pump itself up, right? Is that what you're saying?
No, but it's with the exiled card.
Right, yeah. So it pumps...
I misread it. That's my fault. I was reading it as, like, a piece of graveyard hate.
Oh, no. Yeah, but there are plenty of decks where you're, like, you just don't care about losing your own cards from your graveyard. Like, I'm thinking, like, modern humans just could care less about exiling their Champion of Parish or whatever.
Yeah, no, I see what you're saying. No, I misread the card. Yeah, this card's pretty good.
Spirits, on the other hand, has the Moorland Haunt. I think it is the land that you can turn your dudes into. Yeah, 1/1 spirits. Yeah. So I don't know. Cool card. Interested to see what Standard looks like, but it's got potential. All right, man.
I mean, there's two other cards I want to talk about, not because they're significantly super important or anything, but just because they're keyword abilities. The first one is Dragonkin Berserker. It's 1 and a red for a 2/2 first strike. Beast or Boast abilities you activate cost 1 less to activate for each dragon you control. So Boast is a keyword. So this card has Boast, 4 and a red. Create a 5/5 red dragon creature token with flying. And so Boast's text is activate this ability only if this creature attacked this turn and only once each turn. So if you attack with the creature with Boast, at any point in time, you can activate its Boast ability and only activate it once per turn. So basically for this guy, he becomes a dragon factory because the first dragon will cost you 5, the second will cost you 4, the third will cost you 3, etc., etc., etc. So if this guy lives for any number of turns, you're gonna have basically a dragon factory.
Yeah, and two mana, 2/2 first striker is very aggressive.
Nothing to laugh at. Yeah, nothing to laugh at. So this is a good long game card for red deck wins. It's just a good early minion. I'm playing Hearthstone, you can tell. it's a good early creature.
You can tell they're really designing with EDH in mind. This guy is very like playable in EDH. Aggressive creature that has big late game applications.
Absolutely. But Boast is the kind of thing I want to point out.
Yep.
And then the second thing I want to point out was Runeforge Champion. So whenever Runeforge Champion enters the battlefield, you may search your library and or graveyard for a rune card. Reveal it and put it in your hand. If you search your library this way, shuffle it. You may pay 1 rather than the mana cost for rune spells that you cast. So we don't know what the runes are, what they're going to do, what they might say. If there's an expensive or powerful rune, this guy kind of breaks it because you can search it up and then just pay 1 for it.
Yeah.
So I don't think that a rune can be anything like take an extra turn after this one, because then you would just blink this guy and get to take infinite turns for paying an extra mana or whatever. So there won't be a rune that's probably take an extra turn after this one.
Go on.
But I mean, I would just be curious to see what runes are. But they're probably another card type. So
the art makes it look like an equipment matters type of dude. He's holding some swords. It's a dwarf warrior. He's got like a helmet on.
Yeah.
I wonder if a rune is kind of like
an enchant creature sort of deal.
Like, yeah. Yeah, I think so. So I don't know. I mean. pay one rather than pay the mana cost for rune spells you cast. Like, this seems to be like you, they want you to like compare it to like a Stoneforge Mystic type of thing.
So realistically, if you look at runes in like most video games you play or anything like that, most RPGs, runes have tended to be improvements on your weapons or abilities. So these probably will be things that enchant creatures or equipment to give them powerful abilities, like maybe +2/+2 or first strike or something like that.
Oh yeah, maybe they're equip equipments.
Yeah, something like that. I mean, who knows? But I mean, that's just speculation from typical play of RPGs. Like, these are the kind of things I would see. But yeah, I don't think the sagas are anything to write home about, and I don't think I care about Calamity Reaver. So nothing really else to write home about there.
Yeah, I do still like the flavor of this set quite a bit. The art is really cool. These pathways look awesome. Just the basic art on the pathways is really cool and inspiring. There's a character in each one, and it's hard to tell what it's really depicting, but it's kind of like showing like a character at like different stages of a journey, like kind of moving through these really big epic scenes, and that's super cool. But yeah, this reminds me of like The Witcher, the whole set, you know, this kind of like Nordic Norse adventure mythology type of thing.
Drop a coin for your Witcher.
Yeah. I got to play that game over the summer. That one's fun. Yeah. All right, man. Well, I bet we'll have some more soon because this set comes out in just a month now. We're close to the release of it. I think that the spoilers are going to start rolling in, and we're going to have a ton of them in no time at all.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, we'll catch you later.
Thanks, everyone.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Modern Metacall is a production of CarnockLife.com, where you can find a selection of MTG content, both written and recorded. Looking for deck primers? We've got them. Interested in videos? Try our CKL Play series, where we take the most interesting decks appearing in published results for a spin through MTGO leagues. We've got a team of talented writers specializing in a variety of formats and archetypes. To keep up with CarnockLife offerings, you can follow us on our Facebook page, facebook.com/CarnockLifePodcast. Thanks is due to Manatraders.com, MTGCast.com, and TheDiscard.com for their support in making this possible, and thank you for listening, commenting, sharing, and reading Card Knock Life content.